Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, do I need this? This and my West Rock coffee. After a long night.
Long night, Mike. What happened? Gee whiz, little fella.
You happened.
Tell me about it. No, go ahead. Let this play, man.
Yeah,
this
I know.
You need a little bit of this
okay,
right
pick
here.
Pick me up.
I am bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I like a great rest. I'll tell you that right now.
Good for you.
Sometimes you just got to say, hey, I'm going to get rest. And then you just go do it. It's good for you. Go ahead. Let this thing breathe. You come and go.
Bleary-eyed, but excited to be here on this Friday morning. Thank you to everybody, and there were a lot of you that came out for our Corona Fan Dream job auditions at Sports Column last night.
Set a record, I heard.
I think it was a national record.
Yes,
but definitely a record for all of the. What did we do? Six, seven auditions over the course of the last couple of months. And yes, we shattered the record last night.
Right. Well, going into it, there was the most that had ever shown up for one of these Corona Dream Job deals was 44 people. Last night, you had 79 auditions. Good for you, man. That's great. That is great.
It was fun. Met a lot of very cool people.
Right.
Sports Column was a terrific place to hold the event.
That's great.
But it was late night.
Late.
I rolled out of there at about 10:30.
Well, I have to admit that I'm a little disappointed because I was trying to get 100 people down there to audition.
Okay, why don't you just acknowledge your role in all of this, your motivation in all of this, and your satisfaction in all this? Because it really bordered on Richard Dine.
The last time you did this, you were like, man, I didn't realize it was going to take that long to do it. And you had 44 people.
I had the original high.
So you're like, poof, I was tired. You came back the next morning. You were tired. You did the 44. And you were there till like 9 o'clock. And you thought you'd be done at 8. And you're like, it's a late night. So I thought, well, let's just kind of ramp it up a little bit. So I tweeted a bunch yesterday, just reminding people to show up to Sports Column.
Yeah, just reminding people, right.
So 79 people showed up. You didn't finish till almost 11 o'clock at night. And so, meanwhile, Mike's texting me. I'm watching the NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. Congratulations to the Caps. And he's texting me and at like 9 o'clock. You know, we sent a couple texts back. First, he just texts me, I hate you. And then he goes back and forth. We go back and forth. And then like at, I don't know, probably 9:05, you texted me something. And it was the greatest response text I think I've ever sent. It was to you and Armin on a group text. And and I laughed out loud at myself. And my daughter goes, you're so immature. She's like, you're just so proud of yourself. And my response text to you was, could you please quit texting me? I'm trying to get my rest. It just made me so. You ever go to bed at night and you get the sheets and you just got a big grin on your face, like
you're unbelievable.
I am such a bad winner. I am a child.
And then I get up this morning and there's a text waiting for me. Rise and shine. It must feel good to have set a record.
Oh, God.
You're unbelievable.
I was up early this morning. Yes, because
I got so much sleep. Yeah, right. Like, woo. Oh, let's go. Feet on the floor. Mm-hmm. Let's meet the day.
Oh. Well, I'm glad.
Well, it was fun. It was good. And met a lot of cool people. Like I said, we got some repeat people that I got a chance to see for a second time. And there's some pretty talented people out there. So we'll go get on to the next step. We'll find our finalists and see if one of them end up here on the Fans. So
that's pretty cool.
We shall see. It is a Friday, which you know what that means. Is it just me Friday? Get some stuff off your chest. Hot sports opinions. We don't want you burdened going into the weekend. So Use that RamosLaw.com text line at 303-713-1043.
I've got one for you.
And just give it to us in the form of, is it just me?
Yeah, is it just me?
Is it just me or Mark Schler at the...
Right. No, I've got one for you. Is it just me, or does that series win in Cincinnati feel like a series loss after the blown save yesterday?
Oh, absolutely.
Should have been a sweep.
Yeah, you can't just console yourself and say, well, we won the series.
No.
That should have been a sweep.
From pulling out Anderson, who was lights out at the time in his first two innings, to going to the bullpen, you know, to having to bring Wade Davis in the game before because Brian Shaw couldn't get anybody out, and then, you know, and having to use him, and then him blowing the save. It just was, and then you got to go extra innings. What did they go, 13, 14 innings? Just a really disappointing, disappointing loss. It just feels like a series. I mean, it feels like a series loss.
It does.
And again, the bullpen has just been a gas can. This is a bullpen that looks like a bullpen that's been taxed, and you're rolling into September, and we're in early June.
You know, it's funny. We had a number of people who actually wanted to talk last night and make their three-minute rant about the bullpen.
Right.
And what to do. And people are saying, make this change, bench that guy, send that guy down, you know, do this, do that. And, you know, my response is, you know, you committed $100 million to this bullpen. And if you include guys like Mike Dunn from the year before, even more than that.
Right.
And you did so on the idea of what these guys' resume was. And, you know, here we are, what? The Rockies' record is 32-30. We've played 62 games, 100 games left. I think that really your only recourse is to just trust that at some point these guys revert back to the numbers that are on the back of their baseball card. I don't know how you can make sweeping changes in a bullpen that you've committed so much to, and it's not like it's a bunch of rookies you're trying to break in. I mean, these are all veteran guys.
Right. You're not gonna make a change with the Wade Davis. Wade Davis can pitch. There's nothing wrong with Wade Davis. He blew a save yesterday. You know, had a couple of wild pitches. That's disappointing. You know, I was like, I sat there, and the go ahead run, he spiked the ball at about 58 feet, and it was so interesting because I told my wife, we were sitting there, I go, you throw a hammer to this guy, good hammer in the dirt, and, you know, slider in the dirt, there's going to swing over the top of it, you're out of this thing. Spiked it about 58 feet. It's a wild pitch. He had two in the inning. I think he also hit a batter. Anyhow, it was really disappointing. But you're not doing anything with him. Wade Davis can pitch. Wade Davis, there's nothing wrong with his stuff. I think it was the third day in a row he had a pitch. And, you know, maybe he was tired. I don't know. But that was disappointing. Brian Shaw, you're just going to keep working with Brian Shaw until he gets his stuff together, because Brian Shaw, I agree with you, revert to what's on the back of his baseball card. But there comes a time, like with a Mike Dunn, and you have to look at it. You know, I've seen guys across the board that are older veteran guys that aren't pitching very well that have been designated. And, you know, you can either accept it or you can say, hey, pound sand, and then you're a free agent. But there comes a time when some, you know, you may have to make some of these tough decisions and eat some salary and either bring a kid up that you've been grooming through your system or, you know, go find a free agent pitcher that you know can fill that void. But, you know, Russin is the same situation. And I've always been a big Chris Russin fan. I think he's really good, but he just does not have the pinpoint accuracy that he did a year ago. He just is not painting. He's leaving things in the middle, and he doesn't have overpowering stuff.
Yeah, at some point, when you're trying to win a division like the one the Rockies are in, that's so tight. You know, you lose a game like this, you have to then turn around at some point. You have to win a game that you're not supposed to win.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now you're on the onus is on you to turn around and now win a game like the one you lost,
right?
Where it looks like it's lost, and then you somehow pull it out. So you got to even it out. Because as bunched up as this division is going to be, you can't lose games like the one you did. You just can't. Those are the ones that if you end up falling a game or two short, you're going to look back and go, remember that day in Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't blow that off as, well, it's 162 games. Nope, there's some during the course of the season that just mean a little bit more. And that's one that you just can't let go. We're off and rolling here on a Friday morning. Is It Just Me? Hit us up, 303-713-1043. Bronco running backs were on display yesterday after their OTA. Just how is this whole equation going to shape up? We'll get to that coming up next. Is It Just Me Friday, as we are often rolling here? Is It Just Me? This one comes in on the RamosLaw.com text line. Is It Just Me?
Uh-huh.
Or is the Rockies bullpen dealing with too many injuries?
Okay, what
you got Adam Ottavino.
I understand that.
Could some of the guys that are out there pitching not be healthy?
Well, Rustin has had some injury issues. But again, if that's the case and you're trying to pitch through it, isn't it better? And we had this discussion with Shane Ray. If you have the surgery and you're rushing back to play and you're like, okay, I'm good enough, is that going to end up being your demise? And if that's the issue, and because you have a slight injury and you think you can work through it, again, the thing about pitching, you're throwing it 60 feet, 6 inches. If your release point or you adjust a little bit and it's maybe an inch off at the release, that's a foot off at the plate. And this is the precision that is required to play that game and to pitch. And it's one of the reasons I love baseball. I love the individual thinking and battle that goes on inside a team sport. It's an individual sport inside a team sport. And it's just fascinating to me. But if that is the case, then as an organization, sit some guys down, put them on the DL, get them right. Because certainly, hey, Chris Rustin's not helping you right now. I mean, every time he goes out, Mike, it's 2-3 hits, it's 2 runs, it's a walk. Like, he was deadly accurate last year. He was painting last year. And take it from me. One, I don't care if you throw 95 to 97. If you leave it in the middle of the plate and it's straight, it is going to get, it's going to be a seed coming at you the other way. That's baseball today. So the guys who have overpowering stuff with great movement, those guys will survive. And those guys don't have to pitch in the zone. You know, they don't have to be deadly accurate. You got great late movement. You can throw one right down the middle and, you know, and trust that the movement's gonna take it off the center of the plate. But Chris Rustin doesn't have that. So he has got to be, you know, he's got to be pinpoint accurate. And he hasn't been this year. And again, you know, I feel like no disrespect intended, but I'm going to disrespect it. It just isn't working right now. And he was one of my favorite pitchers last year. He was incredible what he was able to accomplish last year, but obviously he's not right. So as an organization, at some point you got to say, we got to sit you down. We got to get you right. Then we got to get you, you know, your confidence back. And that's a process. And it may be, hey, you got to go back down to AAA for a while, whatever it is. Yeah, he'd be a guy that would accept the assignment, except if they did designate him, he'd accept it and he'd go down. I don't know that would Mike Dunn do that. Mike Dunn's had a lot of success in this league. And maybe Mike Dunn is suffering a little bit of an injury or a little bit of a tweaked mechanics. You could fall out of that. Adam Ottavino last year wasn't great.
It was awful.
Right?
Struggling.
And Adam Ottavino's stuff is incredible. But it just goes to show you, you're a little bit off. You got something a little bit bothering you, and you try to compensate for it at the plate, man. You know, a little bit off on the rubber is eight inches to a foot off at the plate, and I just like you gotta address this because I think, you know, and I had texted back and forth with Bud Black just the other day. He's like, I have faith, man. We're gonna you know, the bullpen is gonna right itself. We're gonna be all right. But at some point, you're getting in a part of the season where you're like, dude, we can't wait around for the bullpen. You're gonna wait around yourself out of contention if you wait too much longer. Like, at what point, Mike, do you have to say, put our foot down, we gotta start making some changes? Because I admire loyalty. Loyalty is great. Loyalty's really great right up until you lose your chance to win the division, right? And at some point, and I don't know when that point is, but at some point you're going to have to look at yourself realistically and go, I cannot continue to roll this guy out. What does that do to the rest of my bullpen? If I can't, like, if every time I told you it's wedgie alert, every time you roll your bullpen out, if there's two guys that you can rely on in your bullpen, you can't go to those two guys every flipping game. So if you've got four guys in your bullpen that you're like, I can't trust to put this guy out there, then you're putting so much more wear and tear and tax on the guys that you do have some faith in that you're going to crumble. Now, those guys are going to suffer. Those guys are going to get hurt. Those guys aren't going to be effective. Those guys are going to get dead arms. And then what happens? And then the Giants catch you. The Padres catch you. The LA Dodgers catch you. You know, the Arizona Diamondbacks sweep you this weekend. And now you're in last place from first to last. So this, to me, right now, and I know I come from a football mentality where it's always push the panic button, but the panic button for me is pushed. At some point, you have to make a decision. And your decision can't be, I believe they're going to fix themselves. Because every day you roll out there, nobody looks like they're getting fixed.
And the overall drain it has on the team energy, team morale, when that bullpen door opens and this guy comes trotting out, filling the blank, and there's that sense of, uh-oh.
Right.
You know, and just everybody's sort of like, what's going to happen now? You know, can I, oh no, not this guy. You know, and it just, the 100 games left. You try to keep, I know I've always been one that is like, don't give me the whole, it's a marathon, not a sprint stuff. Games matter in April and May and early June. And I'm not saying that they don't. Yesterday was a bad loss. But there are still 100 games left. And you are talking about veterans. Do you trust that eventually they'll figure it out? And I want to hear more about your exchange with Bud Black as we move along throughout the course of the morning. But we got the Morning Brew coming up next. Hey, the Broncos have themselves a young stable of running backs. What are the advantages and disadvantages of being so young at that position? That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning and you're going to crap thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What? Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Now the 2-1 pitch. Swung on, fly ball hit well. Back into deep right center field, and this one belongs to the Reds. Jesse Winker with a one-out, two-run homer into the seats in right center field. In 13, the Reds have defeated the Colorado Rockies 7-5.
Die that Winker. Reds radio. Rockies lose one that, man, if they don't make the playoffs or they have to settle for that precarious one-game winner-take-all wild card, you're going to think back to a loss like this one. It's just, ouch.
Yeah, this one hurts, man. And this is one where, you know, Anderson was pitching so well. You know, you go back and question yourself with a bullpen that has been just absolutely torch-lit. You know, should I have taken him out? Should I have let him throw another inning? You know, I don't know what his total pitches were at the time, but his last two innings, he rolled through his last two innings. I mean, he was outstanding in his last two innings. So, you know, just as I know those decisions are tough, and, you know, and that's why, you know, opinions sitting here, opinions are easy, decisions are tough. And, you know, those are the kind of decisions you have to make. But let me just look really quick what he had. So, Anderson went 7-5 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, 5 Ks, only 1 walk, and
105 pitches. It was time. It was time.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. It was.
I mean, he was. Bud Black, you just the night before your bullpen gave you 4 scoreless innings, picked up John Gray.
Yeah.
So you're trusting them to be able to do it again against a bad Cincinnati team. They didn't. Now you come home for a quick homestand, 3 games against Arizona. It's a battle for first place. Arizona back ahead of the Rockies. I mean, are we at the point where a series like this is considered crucial? I mean, you have to take two out of three.
Yeah, you got, especially with their home woes. You got to get some confidence here at home. Like coming home, you know what? For the Rockies, they are like they're built upside down right now. You think about it; they breathe a sigh of relief as a team collectively when they go on the road. They come home and they're like, uh oh, like tense up. Like you got to flip that. You got to be, especially because you played so many dang games on the road. You got to have some confidence. When you walk into your home stadium, you've got to have some confidence, don't you?
It's only a three-game series. It's a strange schedule. You had the nine-game homestand, then you go on the road for three, and then you come home for three, and you're back out on the road. So, yeah, I don't – right now I don't feel a whole lot of confidence with them at home. We shall see if they can start to turn around first-place battle.
You know the one thing you don't want to do right now? You don't want to get Paul Goldschmidt going. He has been scuffling. Like, you don't want all of a sudden the bullpen to come him and energize him and light him up and, oh, now I figured it out, right? You want to keep him scuffling. That's a big, big must for the Rockies.
Paul Goldschmidt hitting .233. Wow. Next on the Morning Brew.
Fans, we did it. Get some beers, get some whatever, and start celebrating. We're the Stanley Cup champions. Washington Capitals, baby. Woo!
Alex Ovechkin. First of all, can there be a better scenario than celebrating a championship and drinking from Lord Stanley's cup in Las Vegas? What do you think last night was like?
Well, oh.
Or what do you think it continues to be right now?
Yeah, last night in Vegas has not ended
no,
yet.
No. Not for the Washington Capitals.
And the good news is there's no restrictions to drinking for Ovechkin with all those chiclets missing, right? It just pours right through.
Boy, I felt good for him. Boy, the reaction. The reaction. You know, we as sports fans, we just I think a lot of times we just want to make sure, hey, does it matter to these guys as much as it matters to us as fans, you know?
Right.
And to see his reaction, to see just the pure, unadulterated joy, disbelief, relief, all those emotions were so raw and apparent to watch on his face. I loved it. I mean, that's why we watch.
When they won and he wasn't on the ice at the time, and he jumped over.
Oh.
He like he's on the bench. He jumped over the wall to go celebrate with his teammates. It was so cool. I'll tell you the other really cool thing about hockey. You beat the living snot out of one another. There's fights and there's, you know, I mean, it's a rough sport. And then the game and the series is over. You line up and you skate down and shake each other's hands.
It's cool, isn't it?
It's a really cool part of hockey.
Could you have done that?
Oh, yeah.
In football?
Sure. I could.
Okay. How many guys did you play with or play against that you know? No way.
Oh, I imagine.
There'd have been fisticuffs.
The large majority of guys could easily have done it. There's always a couple guys that just can't. Like, they just leave.
Can't let it go.
Right. Yeah, there's always a few guys. But I just think it's kind of a cool tradition. It's another thing that just kind of sets hockey apart. Hockey's cool, man. That was great. I got to watch that last night. Ovechkin has been there, what, 14 years?
Yep.
Hasn't won a Stanley Cup. You know, he takes his name away from the Marinos of the world and the Ted Williams of the world.
He's in the club now.
The Carl Malones of the world. Yep. One of the great players in the history of this league now has a Stanley Cup. And he won the Conn Smythe Trophy as well.
That's right. Next on the Morning Brew.
Wanted to come in and compete, show the coaches that I have that competitive nature. I feel like I could bring that to the team and help in any ways. No matter what they wanted me to do, I was ready to do it.
That is Royce Freeman. And I was watching Broncos OTA the other day, and I'm watching all the running backs get work.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me, boy, they are young. They are young at the running back position.
Right.
When you start thinking about Devontae, Devontae Booker's the veteran.
Right.
You know, you got Booker, you got Freeman, you got D'Angelo Henderson, you got Philip Lindsay. All right, youth is being served in the Broncos backfield. Is that a good thing that they're that young? What are the advantages or disadvantages that jump out at you?
Well, obviously just experience, not having seen a lot. Blitz pickup stuff, you know, pass protection stuff, changing protections, all those type of things that, are part of playing that running back position, because ultimately the number one thing you have to do is you got to keep your quarterback clean. And So that's a huge part. The understanding of protection, understanding of, you know, who's hot, who's not, who we've got to pick up, how I have to search from A to B, right? From one backer to the next backer, or from a backer to safety. All those things are very important. How if we redirect protection, how I might have to flip sides and how my responsibilities change. Like, all that stuff is incredibly important, because it's the difference between, you know, strip sack, fumble, touchdown the other way, and blitz pickup, my quarterback hits the one-on-one, and it's a, you know, I mean, it's a 14-point swing. And so that's the issue that you have with young running backs. And it's always the toughest part about being a running back, is understanding protection and then understanding how to get the blitz is picked up. And how, I mean, these linebackers, you know, they can run just like you run, and they're big and strong now, 250, and, you know, try to run you over. So that's the biggest issue.
Next on the Morning Brew.
It really is shocking when you see the talent. I played in five finals. I don't think I ever saw anybody make a 30-foot shot in the middle of the game, much less four of them, which KD did last night, I believe, and which Steph did multiple times the game before, which LeBron did multiple times in game one.
Steve Kerr marveling at what he has seen out on the floor in these NBA finals that could end with a sweep. Does it end in a sweep, or does Cleveland prolong this for one more night?
No, I think it's gonna end in a sweep. I mean, you lost game three. Steph Curry went 1 for 10 from 3-point land. He was completely ineffective shooting the basketball, and you still don't have enough to beat the Warriors.
Cleveland's out of gas.
Yeah,
they're physically, and I think emotionally, they're empty. I mean, they should have been beaten in the Eastern Conference Finals by the Celtics if the Celtics weren't, you know, so if their youth and inexperience didn't show up as evidently as it did in Game 7, they should have won that game. They mm-hmm. should have won that series. It wasn't so much as what Cleveland did as what the Celtics did to themselves. And so, I mean, you got a Cleveland team that came into this series. They gave their best shot on Game 1. Once they gave away game one, once J.R. Smith gave away game one like he did, it was over. It was over. I told you the moment that game ended, it was over. And, you know, now here we are. It's just a matter of whether or not it's, you know, does Golden State, you know, expend all that energy tonight to win it? Or do they just go home and celebrate at home?
Right.
Does LeBron want to get on a plane and fly out to Oakland just to get beat? Either way, it's over. 4 or 5, it's over.
Yeah. No, the series is over. I think they'll get swept.
All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. By the way, we have that game for you tonight on The Fan, Ben? We do. All right, so you can check that game out tonight, Game 4 of the NBA Finals, right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. It's This Is Just Me Friday. Give you a chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest. Heading off into this weekend, hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And for those of you who are reveling this offseason in the chipping away of the Patriots dynasty, do we get another reason to think it's going to be a tough year for them yesterday? That's next. Well, for those of you who have been enjoying this tumultuous offseason for the New England Patriots, you had to really enjoy the news yesterday that Jules, Tom Brady's boo, has been suspended for 4 games for violating the performance-enhancing law, drug, PED rules.
Right.
4 games. Of course, he insists, shocked,
right,
that it found its way into my system. I have no idea how it happened. And even better, the controversial trainer, Tom Brady's personal trainer, who's been at the center of the rift between Brady and Belichick, came out and actually threw Julian Edelman under the bus. Mm-hmm. Alex Guerrero, who Edelman has worked with, was fast to come out and say, quote, "It's disappointing to hear today's news. Elite athletes sometimes work with multiple coaches and health professionals as part of their training. Here at our facility, we take a natural, holistic, appropriate, and above all, legal approach to training and recovery for all of our clients. And anyone who would suggest otherwise is irresponsible and just plain wrong." Meanwhile, Bill Belichick is sitting back going,
right. told you so. That's why I banned Alex Guerrero from the facility.
Absolutely.
So did Julian Edelman come out with an official? Did he come out with an official statement? Like did?
No, he did. Yeah.
I can't believe
I have it. Hold on a second. Okay. Keep discussing.
He probably yourself. Yeah. So. Probably just ate too much steak. You know. Drink a lot of milk.
Really? Is that how you can violate a PED by eating a steak?
Yeah.
That's the case. I'm a repeat offender.
Right. That's the case. Your testosterone is off the chain right now. All the steak you've been eating. I'm just waiting for the first athlete. These are things I'm waiting for. Like, is it just me? Is it just me? Is there have never been an unsuccessful surgery? Like, I'm waiting for the first doctor ever to come out. Because every surgery, Shane Ray's going to have surgery next week. You know what they're going to come out with? It was a successful surgery. Like, hey, if he can't come back after this one, that's on him. It's like, he's the one that screwed it up. I'm waiting for the first doctor to come out and say, man, I really screwed that one up. Wasn't at my best today. You know, hope he walks again. And I'm waiting for the first athlete to come in and go, all right, you got me. Every athlete comes out and says, what? I have no idea how that got into my system. I've been taking the same supplements for the last, and have taken in past, multiple PED tests. I don't know how that got in there. I just want one guy to come out and go, yeah, I was juicing. You know what? Coming back from an ACL injury, yeah. I loaded up. I was in. I was locked in. You know, got the mixture wrong.
Meanwhile, it's been funny to watch Belichick slowly get his revenge after everything that went on during the offseason. So he had Brady back this week for the first time.
Right.
And he chewed out the offense the other day.
Yeah.
Including Brady. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, how about this? Yesterday, there was they had a substitution snafu.
Uh-huh.
And he was not happy. He sent the whole offense, including Josh McDaniels, on a lap around the field.
He's like,
do your job.
He sent McDaniels on a lap.
Do your job and quit making up.
Would you love to see?
That's great.
I love that. Now that's something I'd love to see Vance do. You know, like the offense screws up and it's just an obvious mental mistake. Everybody, including Bill Musgrave, has to take a lap.
Yeah.
Good.
Coob's out there advising.
Coops. You too, Coops. I need a lap. Let's go. Chop, chop. Don't have all day.
Bill Belichick.
Here's the bigger question.
He's putting his foot down.
Here's the bigger question. All right. This is all we care about here in Denver and other AFC cities. Do you see? I mean, obviously, there are cracks. Okay. But do you see this thing potentially crumbling?
Do I see? I just don't think there's enough. I don't think there's enough good teams in the AFC East for the Patriots to crumble. They've got. I mean, let's just face it. They've got one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played the game, maybe the best. And I don't see him dropping off anytime soon. And he's still an incredibly motivated, self-motivated, grinding guy. And honestly, from a coaching standpoint, they're the best coach team in the league. They're just the smartest team in the league when it comes to coaching and matchups. And so do I see cracks? Yes. Do I see some issues? Yes. Do I see them starting off the season 1-4 and things crumbling? No, I don't. I just don't think they have a division that's going to challenge them enough.
Boy, they have benefited from that. Man, have they benefited. They have benefited from a division that is just incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has stood up to them. And they have a built-in advantage every single year of knowing that they're going to win their division, which automatically ensures them at least one home playoff game. And then because they have such a built-in advantage with their cream puff division, all they have to do is pick off a few extra wins, and they automatically have a first-round bye.
Think about the coaches.
How many road games have they... seriously, in the course of the last... How long has this thing been going on? So since 2001? So 17 years? I think, if I'm not mistaken, that they've played less than 5 road playoff games.
Oh, I don't doubt it at all. I mean, think about that division. You had Rex Ryan and then Todd Bowles for the Jets. Buffalo, Doug Marrone, didn't he quit as the head coach? Didn't he walk away from as the head coach? And then, you know, who was the head coach before Doug Marrone? I can't even remember. I'd have to Google that, and would take effort. And then you look at Miami with Philbin, you know.
Philbin, I forgot Philbin, about Philbin.
SpongeBob SquarePants or Squidward. Didn't he look like Squidward with a bald head?
It's Tony Sperano.
Oh, yeah.
With those cool shades.
Yeah, the two cool shades because he got grease in his eyes when he was a kid. Working at the fry cook or
that
something.
That what happened?
Yeah. He's got real sensitive eyes because he was a fry cook or something, and the grease spit in his eyes. Yeah, like, I don't know, he had the grease too hot or something. Peanut oil in my eyes.
We didn't have weird eyes.
Yeah, if you get peanut oil in your eyes, you're going to make that sound.
You're going to clear the air.
Oh, shoot. I was too busy resting last night to work on it.
You'd think with all the free time you had last night, while I was grinding away for 4.5 hours.
You would think,
which
right?
I enjoyed my time. Don't get me wrong, but it was 4.5 hours while you were resting and relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
While I was doing the Corona Fan Dream Job editions at SportsCom, that you'd have a topic in mind. So I'm not going to help you out. No assignment for me. What do you got?
Some stuff. Yeah.
Ooh.
I read this yesterday on Twitter. From the NFL.com, 5 reasons the Broncos will make the playoffs.
I saw that. I didn't get a chance to read it, so you're going to clear the air about it.
Yeah.
Good. I'm actually looking forward to this one.
All right.
First time for everything. That's coming up. Clear the air next.